Cause you took away my sin. Cause you took away my sin. And you led it to the cross. You got me running out the grave. Oh, hallelujah, here I am. Cause you took away my sin. Cause you took away my sin. And you led it to the cross. You got me running out the grave. Oh, hallelujah, here I am. Oh, hallelujah, here I come. Hallelujah, here I come. Hallelujah, here I come.
Bring it out.
Hallelujah, here I come.
Hallelujah, here I come.
Thank you so much. Give God praise. I also just want to take some time. There's so much that happens behind the scenes here. So Mike is doing a fantastic job with sound. And Bob's back there on slides. Bob, we thank you for doing that. It is a thankless job. So thank you. All right, let's go. We have some slides to go through. We have some new slides and some ones that you already know. Bob, if you could go to the next one for me, that'd be great. You know, the T-shirts are over at the Snack Shack. I've seen you wearing them. That's fantastic. So please know that they're $20. You can buy them right there at the Snack Shack. Go ahead. You can go to the next one for me. If you haven't already done so, connect yourself to what Zach is doing with the teens. By the way, the karaoke was fantastic today. That was fun. That was really fun. Good stuff. All right, you can go to the next one. We have our cornhole tournament. Zach, how's that shaping up? What does that look like? So he says it's a little light, but he encourages everybody to sign up. There's two, what, there's an under 13 and an older 13? That's what it is. So please sign up. Get yourself a partner. Join the the sign-ups in the back. Sign up for the cornhole tournament. It's going to be a fantastic time. And then we have the kids versus parents wiffle ball. By the way, parents are 2-0, by the way. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, bring it. Bring it. Bring it. I got Chris. Are we having pocket pizza this time? No pocket pizza. Okay. All right, we can go to the next one. All right. Sue is going to be, by the way, there's no IW time tomorrow. There's a ladies' luncheon. So, Sue, I saw that Sue will be at the ladies' luncheon. And, Sue, we're so thankful for you. So, next year, guys, we got to, like, step it up. We got to do something. So, we got to have something for the guys. So, I'm, like, brainstorming. We should have a beef meat or something. I don't know. Like, we need someone with a smoker, a Traeger, to come down here and, like, show the ladies what's up. And so I'm just saying, like, we could have our own thing. So I'm working on it, gentlemen. So if you have ideas what we can do, let's see what we can do. So, well, I don't know, steak? We'll figure out something. Anyway, that's not happening this year, unfortunately. Communion healing service. I do have people coming up to me. I'm still looking for about 4 more people to be able to help me for the healing stations around the room on Thursday. So if you're able to help me, for those, I'll be very happy. If you already did, I want to say thank you for volunteering to help out. There's our offering. You can scan that QR code. They are on some of the posts here. Jeff's going to give us an update on that here in just a little bit. All right, go ahead. So water. Oh my God, that thing is awesome. By the way, who here has been down the slide? How many adults have been down the slide? Dude, you go like warp 10. Like, oh my gosh, it's awesome. So Tabitha was recording me, and she buckled over laughing because you kind of like just go, it's, you know what, just do it. It's going to be fantastic. So anyway, Jeff, can we just say thanks to Jeff for like making that happen? That was fantastic. So thank you. Morning prayer right here, 7:30. And for those who came early to help set up for the pews and the benches, I really say thank you. But anyway, 7:30, we just start off with prayer. All right, this is a new announcement. We have a Smash Brothers tournament happening. All right, by the way, if you're under 16, you have no idea what I'm talking about. Or if you're over 16, you have no idea what I'm talking about. So let me see the people interested in a Smash Brothers tourney. Right. So it is going to, it's changed locations, so because we think it could get a little loud, we're going to move it to the youth tab because we were going to be under the lodge, and then I thought we're probably going to be waking the neighbors. So we're going to move it to the youth tab. It's going to be following the service. Mathen, where are you? Where's Mathen? He's on stage. So see my son Mathen. He's organizing this, but it'll be at the youth tab. So go back to the youth tab following the service. They're going to have a Smash Brothers tourney. All right. Keep going on. Snack Shack hours there. We have peaches, 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 peaches. Like, where's April? Where's April? Right, we got peaches tonight, right? Peach mangoes? Or peach slushies? Peach slushies. Woo! All right. Keep going. Ira Towns is doing a fantastic job for our morning Bible hour speaker. It's fantastic. So come out 9:30. That's great. All right, keep going. Jonathan Weibel is, can we just give praise to God for what you are bringing? So, thank you. If you don't know already, it won't be a far stretch for you to know that Jonathan is a comedian as well. He actually does tours for comedy. He shared a little bit, but we have a promo for one of his shows. So, let's see where it's at.
But on 3, we threw out all 64 ounces, and 63 came back into the car. 60 of it dousing Grandma. She was just completely doused. I no longer think Life Alert commercials are funny. You hear the guy say, "Hey, I go to your church." Linda, I love you so much. Susie and I are praying for you. Kind of put my head on her shoulder. What, Linda?
So Jonathan does a front yard training weekend where you can have him come to your church and do a training session for an entire weekend, and then he does a comedy show that you can invite your neighbors to. So if that is something you or you think your church might be interested in, see Jonathan. Did I get that right, Jonathan? Great. All right, we have on coming Wednesday is the 13th president of the Christian and Missionary Alliance coming here, so please make sure that you let your church know and let people in your congregation know that you'll get a chance to rub some elbows with the bigwigs here, so we get a chance to meet this guy. So, anyway, please be aware this is what's coming up. On Thursday, we have J&H from Bayside, so please come and get a chance to... some of you know J&H, so please come and see J&H. I have to talk like that because they're Creative Access. So please hear what they're doing in their land, and I just have to be careful how I say this. All right, anyway, so keep going on. You can be a part of our Instagram Summer Grove family by looking up this hashtag right here on Instagram. You can share your photos. We're pulling this right off. By the way, the guy in the top left corner, absolutely dapper. Absolutely dapper. All right, you can also follow us on Facebook. Please go to our Facebook page and upload photos and write comments and say how great it is so we can let everybody know what we're doing. Okay? The thrift store is coming up, or is already doing well. So if you haven't already been to, get go get your opportunity to see what you can find over there. And with that being said, a second installment of... All right, so I need four volunteers to come on down. Come on down. Let's see. All right, you in the purple, come on right here. All right, you right there. Come on up. Come on up. All right. Come on down. Come on down. And then you in the dark shirt, come on down. Right there, you. Come on down. All right. Have a seat on the pew. All right. Our first item and only item is... Ooh. Mike, can you tell us a little bit about this item?
Ladies, add a touch of timeless style and to any outfit with this enchanting Nine West satchel handbag featuring... this is too much. I'm not reading the rest.
All right.
So, it's a handbag.
Thank you, Mike. All right. So we have a Nine West satchel handbag. I am looking for original retail price. You can't go over closest without going over. Are you ready? What is your bid?
$10.
And original retail price, $10.
$75.
$75.
$80.
$80.
$11.
$11. $11. Original retail price, $89. Thank you. Look what you can find back at the. Look, it's treasure hunting in your own backyard. All right, tomorrow we'll have another edition. I think we need more worship.
Am I supposed to top that? All right, we might be throwing items out during worship. Some purses, some car keys. You might win a car. Hey, let's stand again as we continue to worship. How about the last two nights, yeah? Amen? God's been moving, and we've just been just the worship in this place. I can just feel, after being here a couple days and my first time being out here, just the years and years of saturated worship in this space. It's holy ground. God's meeting us here. So let's keep pressing in. Let's keep worshiping Him.
What a beautiful name it is, the name.
Stand out here every night and still not be able to lift enough praise to you. All of our worship, all of our praise for everything you've done for us, everything. do. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Would you just tell him that you love him tonight? Just take a second. I love you, Jesus. Every song we could ever sing, worthy of all the praise we could ever bring, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you, we live for you, Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who can save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you, yeah. And holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever bring. We live for you. We live for you. Jesus. Jesus, the name above every other. The only one who could ever. it's our prayer, and I will build my so worthy, and you're calling us to go deeper, and you're calling us to this table that's been set, it's towards it, inviting others into our stories. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated.
Thank you, team, once again for leading us, and just thinking about what we just sang there, that we're building our life on Jesus. And he doesn't build that wall or whatever you want to symbolize as building upon the foundation. It's block by block by block, and it's a process. Hopefully we leave this week building on that foundation. Some of us might have laid one block, two blocks, 10 blocks, but hopefully we're going here changed and change to live for Christ. So thank you again, team, for leading us. I'm up here again, which means we still need some more money. So here we are. We're at about $3,000 now with our goal of $17,000. So we're going to continue to ask until we meet the goal. So again, we're praying God's blessing that we will have this met before Friday. But if we don't, we'll take two offerings on Fridays. Cash and check in the plates again. Checks, Eastern PA District. Thank you. I think the checks have all come in that way, so thanks for doing that. Online, QR codes are around, and people have been finding that, so that seems to be working. So whatever your choice of giving is, we try and make it as easy as possible. We did have a tangible reminder of some faithful giving that's been happening. So it rained today, and there was a big puddle on the stage. If you remember, this has been an ongoing situation. All you have to do is look at that roof up there in the corner. We've been having trouble for years. But praise God, we have now raised enough money to do the whole roof. So August 3rd, we tried to get it in the last week of June, but the weather didn't quite work out with the roofer's schedule. We wanted to have it done before family camp. We couldn't quite fit it in. But first week of June, a whole new roof for the tabernacle. So we are incredibly grateful for God's blessing. Thank you for those that have been giving towards that. And Mike, next year, hopefully we don't need the tarps. Worship team, you can stand wherever you want, not get wet. So that's the goal. All right, so let's go to the Lord in prayer. After I pray again, kids can be dismissed. Kristen and Kaylee are back there, I believe. So you can go to your class, and worship team will then lead us. So, Father, we do. We are just grateful for your blessings. Just a symbol of how that you provide for even just the new roof on the tabernacle here. So we are grateful for that, Lord. We're also grateful for this week, how you're going to work in lives. We already know the work's been started and there's much more to do. So, Father, our hearts and our lives to you this week as you continue to build on that firm foundation for us. So, Lord, we give you this week. We give you this offering. Pray that you would bless it. Bless each gift and giver. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, before we have Jonathan come up and do one more song, do the sermon, sorry. We're going to do one more song, and don't feel called to stand just yet. Let this be a song that you meditate on. Let it be a song that you pray about. Let this be your prayer. We start off with the chorus, and it goes, I'm caught up in your presence. I just want to sit here at your feet, like Mary, who chose the better thing. We're talking about that a lot. I just want to sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment, and I never want to leave. Not I'm staying in this holy moment. It's not even a choice, but he's saying I'm caught up. I'm stuck in this moment, and I don't want to leave. I'm not here for blessings, because you don't owe me anything. Because more than anything that you can do, I just want you. So when we're praying, when we're meditating, don't let it be something that where we have to find something to ask for, where we have to find a request to give to God, but it can just be, God, let your spirit fall. God, let your spirit indwell in me. Just meditate, and when you feel called to stand, whenever you feel called to lift up your hands, whenever you feel called to start singing, let that be on your own accord. But really let the words penetrate your hearts. I'm caught up in your presence. I just wanna sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment. I never want to leave. Oh, I'm not here for blessing. No, no. Jesus, you don't owe me anything. 'Cause more than anything that you can do, oh, I just want you. I'm sorry when I've just gone through the motions. I'm sorry when I just sang another song. Take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to you. And I'm sorry when I've come with my agenda. I'm sorry when I forgot that you're enough. Take me back to where we started. I open up my heart. I'm caught up in your presence. Anything else, oh God. Nothing else. Cause nothing else will do. Nothing else will satisfy. I just want you. Nothing else. Nothing else. Nothing else will do. Oh God, we thank you so much for the worship that we're able. Thank you so much for the gift of worship that you've granted us, music as a way to express ourselves to you when words can't, when movements can't, when writing down can't. We can sing you a song that expresses how we feel towards you. God, that nothing else will do. I don't need a blessing. I don't need anything. I'm not here for a request, oh God. But just you right beside me, your presence is enough. Oh God, and help us to remember that when we're going through the rough, when we're going through the hard times, oh God, when we're praying to you that we don't need to ask for anything right now, but just your presence will satisfy. We pray for the message. Help it to nourish our souls. Help us to take something from it that you want us to hear, that you want us to learn. And we ask this in your mighty, precious, and almighty name we pray. Amen.
Thanks. I'm 5 days a boomer, so I don't know how to turn microphones on. So, are we dismissing anybody tonight, or everyone staying? We already did that. Good. Thanks. I really do know what I'm doing. I have enjoyed getting to meet so many of you. It's been a huge blessing, and Sylvia asked me not to say her name from the stage tonight, so this is the last time. Sylvia, she was a missionary in the Philippines, right? In Paraguay? Sure. But I really appreciate, like, her story. She shared her story with me, how when she was 15 months old, her parents were taking her to the Philippines across the ocean, and she almost died. And I can't imagine, like, the kind of work that you did there. And without you in this world, it would have been less, for sure. So let's clap for her, and then I won't mention her again. Do you want to stand up, Sylvia? There she is, everybody. Yeah. My mother was the best neighbor I'd ever met in my life, and she was an interesting person. You might call her eccentric. Other people called her weird, but she was a fantastic neighbor, and a lot of my DNA in my life is from my mother, obviously, you know, because I'm her son, but just her neighboring DNA is in me. But she was a little odd. Like, she would use our house to paint murals on the side of our house. And she loved rabbits. And my parents, as you know, they grew five boys. Remember, I kept saying grew. They grew five boys. And my mom, one year when we were all kind of in high school and junior high, decided to do a mural of us on the garage in our neighborhood. And it was our heads on the bodies of bunnies. That was my mom. That's what she thought was awesome. Sure, we got beat up a lot. But one year, my brother, who was 5 years older than me, I was in high school, and he and his wife had a baby. And they didn't have enough money to pay for the health care for the baby, the hospital, everything. So my brother was a professional videographer at Ohio University, and he made a deal with the hospital that he would videotape the birth of his first child, so that it would be a training video for the nurses. How many moms are loving this idea right now? You know, it was like he was
a professional videographer. There was, you know, three cameras, boom operator. You know, it was all very professional. And so that happened. And then my mom, one evening, she invited all the neighborhood boys over. We were all in high school. And there were about a dozen of us. And she put us in front of the television. And she had gotten a hold of this VHS tape. And she decided, this was like, her heart was like, she wanted, you know, this is her abstinence program. That she was doing it like this unregulated abstinence program that she was putting on in our living room. And so she didn't prepare us at all. She just showed it to us. The things that we saw, I've never been able to erase from my head. Like, I've never been able to look my sister-in-law in the eye again. Like, we saw everything. It was awful. It was terrible. We saw my sister-in-law's poinsettia. It was completely terrible. We had to adopt our children. That's how good her abstinence program was. My guess is, after a couple days of being together, that you're on board with this concept of the great commandment, right? To love God and love our neighbors. And maybe even excited about it. The idea of being a front yard missionary. Start living visibly in the front. And start praying for, loving, and inviting our neighbors in. Those are the three rhythms. But sadly, we're at the end of our time. I'm leaving tonight, right after our service tonight. And I'm guessing in these 2 days, some doubts have crept in your life. Like, well, I don't know. That's good for Jonathan, but I don't know if I can do this. And maybe some even, dare I say, excuses have crept in. And so tonight, all I'm going to do is just like kind of hold some of those excuses, obstacles up to the light. And then I'm just going to tell you one story about a girl named Kathleen who wrote the last chapter of my book. We have identified five very popular obstacles to living out front yard mission, to living out being a front yard missionary. The first one is this: I have difficult neighbors. Does anyone raise your hand if you have difficult neighbor? Okay, many of you are not raising your hand. So if you're not raising your hand, you're the neighbor, okay? Because there's always one in your neighborhood. You just don't know it. We call these EGRs, right? And I know you know what that means. Extra grace required people. There's always people like that. I'm going to show you this little video about difficult people.
What does being an upstairs neighbor mean to you?
It means we make sound.
People think of neighborly noise as a nuisance, but we think of it as an art form.
We want the sounds to be different, but completely unrecognizable.
Mm-hmm. It just sounds like bowling balls. That can't be what it is, but that's what it sounds like. It sounds like bowling balls.
Is it a bowling ball? Is it a metal barrel? You never know, because sometimes we get metal barrels.
You knew we were twisted, though. Julia is a fountain of creativity.
Oh.
She's a genius.
Oh.
She's so creative.
Oh.
Their ceiling is our stage,
mm-hmm.
and we're dancing across it.
Yes.
It is work. You know, we often take shifts to create the illusion that nobody here sleeps.
Mm-hmm. I just want them to stop. It sounds like a baby the size of a giant is learning how to walk.
A floor is but a movie screen to project the mind's eye.
And all of that hard work really pays off when we get to meet our fans. There's a lot of noise going on up here. Kind of sounds like...
Sounds tough.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yep. Be well.
Thank you.
You know, some people might say what we do is passive-aggressive.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Not all of our Mr. Rogers, right? We all have difficult neighbors in our life. And the reason you're here tonight is because someone has probably loved you into existence too. And you were a difficult person at one point. You were a tough, tough individual at some point to love. And we read in Luke 10 the story of the Good Samaritan, the parable that Jesus tells. And it goes like this. In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place he saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hand of the robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. Now the beat up man on the side of the road wasn't trying to be an extra grace required person. He just was because he needed help. Don't forget what we talked about the first night. John 1:14. Jesus dwelt. Jesus moved into the neighborhood. Jesus pitched his tent where we were and got in the dirt with us. Being a neighbor sometimes means we have to go the extra mile for our neighbor. We have to love our neighbor and who's maybe very different from us. Because if you think about the Samaritan and the man on the side of the road, these men had two or three huge differences. They were ethnically, theologically, politically different. And whatever the Samaritan was doing that day, he had to put it on hold, on the back burner to care for this man. All his plans were interrupted. You're going to be interrupted a lot if you're going to be a neighbor. You're going to be interrupted. You're going to be inconvenienced a lot by people. Some people are just downright mean. And I've heard stories this week. And some people are just tough because they need our help. It's hard. You're going to be inconvenienced. Oftentimes, when we love our neighbor, it's never going to be reciprocated. When we love our neighbor, we won't get that love back. Jesus said, what king who takes his army to war doesn't consider the cost? Or who builds a tower without considering the cost? Following Jesus is hard. Following him can be difficult, and we're going to be inconvenienced by our neighbor. Being a front yard missionary is costly. Expect it. But love the hard neighbors too. Love them too. Not just the ones that you already have a love for or affinity for. Love those who are difficult. Another obstacle that you might have is, I'm not equipped, right? We all have this little inner critic in our head that says, you're not good enough, you don't know enough, you haven't been following Jesus long enough. Jesus in Luke 10, he sends out the 72, right? There's the kind of the 18, the disciples, the 12 disciples, and then he sends out these 72 followers into these neighborhoods, into these small villages, and their job was to preach the gospel, to heal the sick, and to cast out demons. That wasn't like Christianity 101. That was like higher level Christianity, at least we think of it that way. But these guys have been Christ followers for about 15 minutes, and he sends them out. We could say they were not very well equipped. But what Jesus did, his discipleship method, was to send people out, and then when they came back, he talked with them, he taught them, he instructed them, they debriefed about what had happened. Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from the sky. And be thankful that your name is written in the book of life. We're afraid sometimes to get out there and do the work of the gospel because we don't think we know enough. I think a safe place to learn what it means to be a follower of Jesus is in our neighborhoods. It's a good place. We all at some point, if not fairly consistently, hear that inner critic say, you don't know enough, you're stupid, your sin disqualifies you, you're a hypocrite. And when Satan says that to me, and he says that to me too, I say, you're right, I'm a hypocrite, I don't know enough, I'm stupid. But let me remind you that Jesus did all of the work on the cross, and you are a defeated foe, and it is finished. Case closed. I am holy only because of Jesus' blood. I am right before the Father only because of the work that Jesus did for me on the cross. And nothing can separate me from the love of Christ. Nothing can separate me. So when the evil one comes at you, the inner critic, Satan, just remind him, he's a defeated foe and it is finished. What if you don't have a front yard? That might be an obstacle. I don't have a front yard. Anybody? You don't have a front yard. You don't live in a traditional neighborhood. There's a lot of us. And we've been talking about this all week, but we have what's called affinity neighborhoods out there too. And like a good musician, like these guys will tell you, these are really good musicians, right? Okay, yeah, they're really good. Sometimes we have to transpose. And yes, Front Yard Mission doesn't fit neatly into every context, but sometimes we have to transpose. And just one more time, I'll show you my dogs. You know, my wife started the Bernese Mountain. Those are my puppies. That was our first litter. That was just a cute, you know, cuteness moment there. But there, my wife's Front Yard Mission is this Bernese Mountain Dog Club she started. I was telling somebody tonight that the Bernese Mountain Dog is now the number one dog in the state of Pennsylvania. Take that, Golden Retriever. I'm just kidding. I love Goldens too. And then, you know, my front yard mission, besides my geographical front yard, is my comedy. And there's a picture of me doing some comedy. And that guy in the hoodie, he's the guy that I tour with named Ridge. And I love him, and I'm discipling him. He's a new believer. He's the guy that came to me that night and said, hey, I'm a Christian too. I want to learn how to work clean. And I've been discipling him for the last 2 years. And he's on huge stages. I just saw he was with Jay Leno last night. He's on huge stages all over the place. And I get the honor of discipling him. Great dude. if you don't have a front yard, be a regular somewhere. We have a coffee house called the Pump Station where I live, and I'm a regular there. And there's a guy that is there like every morning at 8 a.m. So if I'm there, he's there. And he doesn't go to church. He's not a Christian. But not too long ago, I was at Wegmans at the grocery store, and he was with somebody else. And he said, "Hey, Jonathan, I want to introduce you." So he introduced me to his friend. And he introduced me as, "This is my pastor, Jonathan." I'm like, "Oh, okay. Yeah." So you never know what kind of impact you're having on people. If I don't have a front yard, my workplace, you've got to remember, my workplace is sacred. That's my front yard mission. My classmates are sacred. That's my front yard mission. My soccer team is sacred. All these places, all these spaces are sacred, and God wants us to be on mission everywhere that we go. The moment we step out our front door and even inside our house, we are on mission at all times. We never have being on mission. Front yard mission is loving those that God brings into our path, whoever God brings into our path. Sometimes I'm not always on mission, and it bites me. I was at a, we have this, I don't remember if I told this story, so stop me if I have, but I was at Sam's Club a few years ago with my wife, and it was her birthday, and we were there, and Sam's Club has this kiosk, T-Mobile kiosk, and when you walk down the aisle, if you forget, the T-Mobile guys will step out and stop you and kind of accost you, you know. And if I'm not, like, prayed up or I've not prayed, "Lord, help me change the environment because of Christ in me, the hope of glory." If I'm not prayed up wherever I go and I'm not on mission, I will not – I'll actually be my flesh and not the spirit man. And so – my wife was, it was her birthday, we wanted to get out there, we forgot, and we accidentally walked on that aisle that we always try to avoid, and the guy steps out, "Hey!" And I'm normally a really sweet, nice person, but I wasn't having it in that moment, and I did this, I'm not proud of this, but I said, "Not today," and I just kept walking. I may have Z-snapped, you know how the kids do that these days, you know, yeah, what is it? Yeah. Oh, yeah, something. I'm not cool enough for that. But I kept walking down the aisle, and the guy yelled at me, "I go to your church." So always on mission, right? Always on mission. Here's another excuse. I'm too busy. We all feel busy. We all have careers, school, families, other responsibilities, and we often sacrifice doing the simple thing that Jesus called us to do. We sacrifice that for these other things that become the tyranny of the urgent in our life. We have lots of reasons we don't live out the great commandment in the area of busyness, and there's a passage in Luke 9. I'm going to read that to you. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the son has no place to lay his head." He said to another man, "Follow me." But he replied, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." Pretty good excuse. Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Still another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family." Jesus replied, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the service in the kingdom of God." There are so many sacrifices to be made to follow Jesus. And probably one of our biggest ones is the guarding of our personal time and other things that we're doing. Let's do a little exercise right now. Let's just make a mental list really quickly. Let's make a mental list of everything that's more important than loving God and loving neighbor. You ready? I'll give you 15 seconds. Okay, what's your answer? Will? Nothing? You're right. That's good, Will. You're not only talented, but you're smart. Nothing else takes priority over our life, over the great commandment. That's the most important thing ever. Now, we all have stuff we have to do, but let's find ways to include our neighbor into that. We walk our dogs every day, so we often invite neighbors to walk with us. And that way we get to have 45 minutes to an hour with them, just talking with them and sharing with them. And the last one is this. I don't want to make my neighbors a project. This may be one of the biggest pushbacks we've had since our book came out. In fact, people have written us about this idea. Here's a couple things people have written us. If my neighbors had any idea they were considered my front yard mission, they would slam the door in my face. They are my friends. Here's another one. I would never want to share my story. I don't want my neighbors to think they are a project. Let me just say this. Your neighbors are not the project. You are the project. God is working on you. He is working on you through the great commandment of loving God and loving neighbor. He is shaping us into His image. It's not just evangelism. It's discipleship. It's the base level of discipleship. God is shaping you through loving God and loving your neighbor. Purposeful, intentional love of our neighbors is not the same thing as making them a project. We have ulterior motives, right? And we have an ultimate motive. Like, my ultimate motive is I do want to see my neighbors come to know Jesus. I want it's God's will for everyone to come to the knowledge of the truth of Jesus Christ. I want my neighbors to follow, but that's not my ulterior motive. In other words, I don't love them. I don't care about them just so they become Christians. And if they weren't going to become Christians, I wouldn't have anything to do with them. That's not good. I love them because they're made in God's image and He wants them redeemed. And I love them whether or not they're going to worship with me in heaven with the angels. Neighboring is standing with. Projecting is standing over. We are not superheroes as front yard missionaries. We love and live in the trenches with our neighbors. And the gospel levels the playing field for us all. We're all in need of God's grace. Brian Becker says this, people are afraid to let themselves be known, vulnerable, and seen. If you are impenetrable and have no problems or vulnerabilities, they will feel like a project. They'll feel like a project. I want to take the last few minutes that we have with one another and share a really personal story with you. In fact, we were just with this girl a few days ago. Her name's Kathleen, and Kathleen is a person who lived in our neighborhood during the pandemic. And we first met Kathleen when we had a pizza party, and I'll show you we had a pizza party. We met Kathleen in our neighborhood at that party, and she saw that we had dogs, and she loves animals. Kathleen was getting her PhD in theoretical chemistry from Penn State. So she's like super smart. Her parents are both NASA engineers. Her sister has her PhD in chemistry. And Kathleen was getting her PhD in theoretical chemistry, which, I mean, come on. Theoretical chemistry, I can do that theoretically. You know, it's not a big deal. Super smart, super nerdy. And she came to this pizza party, saw that we had dogs. And then she asked Susie and I, again, it was during the pandemic, so none of us were going to work or whatever, church. And she said, hey, can I start walking the dogs with you? We said, absolutely. We always need another wrangler. And so we started walking the dogs with Kathleen. And we just have talks. Every day at 4 o'clock, we'd walk the dogs. And we just talk and hang out and have fun and be goofballs and all that. And then after about 6 months, she said, hey, can I go to church with you? Kathleen was not a believer at this point. She believed in God but was not a Christian. And we said, sure. So we started taking her to church with us. And then one day she came to us and she said, can I live with you? And something was happening at her house that I can't talk about. And I said, absolutely you can. And so she moved in with us. And every day, as was our custom, we would stand in our kitchen and we would pray before our day started. And we'd pray for Kathleen. She wouldn't pray, but I mean, she'd close her eyes and we'd pray for her. So this went on for weeks, and she was really struggling with anxiety. And so we would be praying for her and, you know, praying scripture over her. And God was starting to heal her. And then she said, hey, do you have any books that I could read that would prove the existence of Christ? And gave her, I think it was More Than a Carpenter, Josh McDowell's book. And then she read that like in a night. So we gave her Evidence That Demands a Verdict. And she needed more because she read that. We gave her Evidence That Demands a Verdict too. We gave her The Case for Christ. We gave her a 365-day devotional, and she read that in one night. And we're like, Kathleen, it doesn't work like that. You don't do all the devotionals in one night. Like, it's not what you do. And then Super Bowl Sunday, we're sitting watching the football game, and she just looks over at me and she says, Jonathan, I have not been a Christian, but she said, I am a Christian now and I'm following Jesus. Can you help me share Jesus with my coworkers, my lab partners at Penn State? We said, sure. And then when she graduated, we said, Kathleen, what do you want to do for your graduation party? And she said, I just want to invite the neighbors over who I've befriended through Front Yard Mission. And I just want to have a little party, a little dinner in the driveway. So we did that with Kathleen, and some of the friends that she had made in our neighborhood came. And Kathleen told her story that night. Shared a little bit of her testimony, and we prayed as a neighborhood for Kathleen. I am super proud of this girl. The day she had to leave, we did what we always did as our custom. We got in the middle of the kitchen, and Kathleen was moving to Northwestern to be a researcher. And she said, would you pray for me? Would you pray over me? And I just couldn't. We had grown to love her so much that it was just so I could not get words out. So because my wife has no heart, she prayed for her. And I cried for 3 weeks. But it's been a few years now. Every week, Kathleen calls us and we talk for an hour. She recently took a job, and I don't know how to pronounce the university she's at. It's in Tennessee, Tusculum University. I'd never heard of it. And she's now a chemistry professor there. And the president of the university, the new president, is a believer, and the heritage of Tusculum University was Christian in this beginning, like many universities. And he wanted to bring the culture back, and so he made a decision. He was only going to hire Christians, and Kathleen was the first Christian he hired under his tenure. 1 Thessalonians 2:8 says, you know, I think of Kathleen, our spiritual daughter, every time we think of the scripture. So we cared for you because we loved you so much. We were delighted to share with you not only the gospel, but our lives as well. She just came back from a mission trip and spent a day with us. She was in Norway on a mission trip and just came back. And so just a few days ago, it was great seeing her. Like I said, we haven't personally led a lot of people to Christ in our neighborhood. Front Yard Mission is not microwave evangelism. It's crock pot, but it's better, it's deeper, and it's lasting fruit. And that's the kind of fruit I'm interested in. Hey, I want to just kind of end our time with giving you some tools. Matthew gave you the hashtag, so you can take that home and work that out with your family. Start populating your hashtag with your neighbors' names if you know them. And then if you don't, start finding out their names and start populating them. And start praying for your neighbors on a regular basis. Remember I said there was a 600% bump in the number of people. If you're regularly praying for our neighbors weekly, three times a week, praying for our neighbors or more, there is a 600% chance you'll start to have gospel conversations more regularly with them, all right? That's what we found out in the small survey of 300 people that we did. And then the Bless app, all right? So it's up there, you know, the Bless app. That's what it looks like. Check that out. It's a great help to learn your neighbor's names and to pray for them. And then we've got these, like, catalytic events that we can help you with. I can personally help you with. Our church, we kind of branded some of these Front Yard Mission events. We've got Donuts in the Driveway, which is like the easiest kind of on-ramp to do a little bit of a bigger event in your neighborhood to meet your neighbors. We do these bigger events not just so we can have these big events, but so that we can find the one or two people that we're going to have an ongoing relationship. These are to find the Kathleens in our neighborhood, the people of peace in our neighborhood. All right? And so we've got Donuts in the Driveway. That's easy. Buy a couple boxes of donuts. Make some really good coffee. Don't skimp on coffee. No Folgers, please. Good coffee. Can I express that more? We do this thing called the worst party ever, which is we only serve bratwurst. I would not advise you do that one, but we just put that one up. I have actually done it. Wasn't great. And then we bought 4 pizza ovens, Uni pizza ovens are called, and we loan those out to churches from our church for people to do pizza parties, outdoor pizza parties. And then we've got a bunch of other simple ideas to get people together. And then we've got seasonal events, so you can see those up there on the screen. It's weird if you knock on your neighbor's door and give them chocolate and say, I love you on like May 3rd. That's weird. But it's okay on February 14th, right? It's at least less creepy, on that day. And also, I know like trick or treat's kind of controversial in Christendom, but one of the things that we encourage people in our city to do is set up a table out front, have hot chocolate, have coffee, have donuts for adults too, and because that's the only time of the year where your neighbors are actually coming knocking on your door, so be prepared. Also, I would advise you strongly to only give regular size candy bars. Fun size is no fun for anyone. All right? Fun size is cheap size would be better, actually. And then we've done a lot of stuff with our Bernice Mountain Dog Club. For 3 years we did a Rent-A-Santa and we put him in our garage. We didn't chain him up to a radiator or anything, but we put him in our garage and we invited everybody to bring their dogs and we had a little bench for the dogs to sit on and he would we take pictures with Santa. That's been a fun one. Also, in our Bernice Mountain Dog Club, we go caroling with our Bernice Mountain Dogs. It's fun to knock on the door and have 40 Bernice Mountain Dogs in your front yard. Like, I mean, to be honest, they're not great singers, but they do leave gifts, so that's nice. So one of the things that my wife and I try to do is, like, schedule these things so we stick by them. And one of the things we're trying to do is, like, these monthly dinners where we invite our neighbors over. And here's our dining room table. I'll show you. That's our dining room table. And when we do have neighbors over, one of the things that we do is we ask them to crawl underneath the table for realsies. And then we give them a Sharpie, and then we have them autograph the bottom of our table. So here's the bottom of our table. That's what it looks like. So that's a free idea for you. That's really great. Because when's the last time you got to sign an autograph? You know, like, when what's fun for me is when there's kind of like an elderly lady that's underneath there and she can't get out. And I pull her by her ankles out. That's fun for me. That's kind of some front yard mission fun. So anyhow, that's a free idea you can steal. You might go, oh, but it's my dining room table. No one ever looks at the bottom of your dining room table. Get over it. Okay, so wanted to show you that. And then just one last idea that I'll show you, something that we started to do, which is, and this is like our beta test for it. We did a, oh, hold on a second. Go back. Don't start yet. Thank you. There's volume to that, too. We do a thing called Paint Your Partner. And so what the idea of it is that you get enough paint, oil paint, and canvases for how many people you have over. And then you take an hour and you paint your spouse or your whatever, your neighbor, whatever. We did a paint your partner night. And it's really great because, like, I'd never painted anything ever in my life. And this was, I found out I was extremely talented at this, as you'll find out in this video. So, yeah, check this out.
Right. Here, hold it up beside you, Sis. Put your glasses on.
Okay, can I? All right. I can kind of see it's in the frame. It's very messy.
Oh, no. That's pretty dang good.
All right.
Come on, people.
I think all the paint off of me.
That is really good.
Okay, right, here
now,
we go.
All right, now it's your turn. It's like more of a Planet of the Apes.
I don't have a snap.
That's what we please shave pounds off you.
Yeah, it's great, honey. You did nail the hair.
I did. The hair is awesome.
Oh, my goodness.
We have those hanging up at our house, and we forget they're hanging up because they've just – and my thought is when people come visit us, they think we believe that's fine art. When they – look at it. Like, I always forget. I take it down if I can, if I know we're having friends or neighbors over. But anyhow, really simple ideas. And you can go to Front Yard Mission. You'll find a lot of great ideas and helpful ideas. And you can download the hashtag card is on there. We have our on frontyardmission.com, we've got our masterclass. We put a lot of money, thousands of dollars into filming a masterclass that anybody can do. It's best if you do it as a group, but anybody can do it. It's a 6-week class that you can take online. So that's happening. That's free for you. And then there's a test of what kind of front yard missionary are you. That's on there. A lot of fun stuff on that. And also, you can get your church connected to Front Yard Mission and maybe bring me in to there. So it's a great thing. Hey, I want to just like give you this kind of camp challenge for the end here. And you can take a picture of this if you don't like writing. Take a picture of this. So here's our challenge is to regularly pray for your hashtag. If I can convince you of anything, it's that when we work, but when we pray, God works. All right, regularly pray for your hashtag. And then once a month, maybe have dinner with a neighbor. Set it on your calendar, like every third Tuesday night, we're going to have dinner with our neighbor or some activity like we do. Like we walk dogs all the time with our neighbors. Look for the person of peace that you can team up with. Front Yard Mission is a team sport, so connect with somebody else that maybe is a Christian or even sympathetic to faith. All right? And then once a quarter, maybe try doing one of these larger gatherings. A donuts in the driveway is a simple on-ramp, or just a fire pit night where you invite 7 or 8 families over for a fire pit night and s'mores. It's really simple, and it will like get your adrenaline going for the Great Commandment. It was like a kickstart catalyst for us when we did that dinner in the driveway. It was that's kind of like got us on this road. So do you have any questions before I've said all I can say, all right? But do you have any questions? Anybody? I know you weren't expecting that, and I can't see you, so if you have any questions, just yell out something. All right, so you all know it all now. Good. Hey, I'm gonna pray for us. The team's gonna come up. Hey, can I just say thank you to you guys for bearing with me this week and loving me and all that. So I just say thank you to you guys. I appreciate you guys too. Eric, you're awesome, bro. Great getting to know you and your family. And I'll be in the back. I think I told Matthew, I don't know if he said this, but if you buy 10 or more books, I will sell them to you for $10 each, like for your church, if you want to buy books. I'd really like to not go back with all those books, so if you don't mind buying books. It goes to feed hungry mouths, like my wife's and mine's. So if you could do that, that'd be great. Thanks again, guys. God bless you, and I hope I see you soon. Peace.
Let's stand and end with one last song of worship tonight. Can we give Jonathan one more hand? Just one more round of applause. Such a great message. All right, let's sing together. I just ask that you would just invade this space right now. Have your way. You've already been moving tonight. You've already been speaking through your word. And Lord, we need a move from you in our hearts, in our minds, in our homes, in our neighborhoods, in our cities, at work, at schools. We need revival. We want it. We want to see it. That your kingdom come, that your will would be done here as in heaven. And it starts in places like this, where you remind our hearts and we become overcome with your presence, overwhelmed with the heart that you have for us and for your bride. Have your way, Lord. You give life. You are love, you bring light to the dark, you give hope, you receive. restore every heart that is broken.
Let them know.
And great are you, Lord.
Lift your voices.
It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour. Great are you, Lord. You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Forevermore, you're so worthy of our praise. Seated on high, this Jesus stepped into every one of our stories and said, "It is finished, it is done, and you are mine." And the story is not over, church. The story is not over. All different places, all different neighborhoods, so many different even cities, and the Lord is doing a work. He's setting revival into space. Do you, can I get an amen to that? Do you feel that tonight? Come on. Come on. The Lord is good, and He's here dwelling with us. Take that in for a second. The Old Testament, they had to wait outside of tents miles long just to get face to face with God, to hear His voice. And we can do that wherever we are, at any moment, because Jesus died on a cross, tore the veil, and made a way to the Father. Can I get an amen to that tonight? Come on. He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our adoration. And He said, "I stepped in for you and for every person walking this earth, because you're my creation. You're my son. You're my daughter. And I love you. I love you." So again, I ask, as we sing these words, let them not just be words tonight. Let them be a prayer that comes from your heart. That comes from your heart for people, for your friends, for your family, for your neighbors, for your coworkers. You're stepping in with this prayer and saying, "God, bring them to you, Jesus. Bring them to you and use me." Would you do that tonight? Could we do that tonight? Come on, Lord, you can do it. You can do it, Jesus. We believe. Let's sing together. Come on. It's our prayer. All the earth. And all the earth will show your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Ask them, pray.
Over every name, over every situation, you are.
And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing.
Come on!
Great are you, Lord.
Over every sickness, over depression,
and all the earth.
The freedom, come on!
praise you again and again.
Come on.
Just all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I've nothing else to pray for again. Except for
too short for all of you to see, so let me go up here. So I got my hashtag filled out here. So these are the people that live around me. It's Ed and Peggy behind me, the Ericksons to my top left, the Wagners are to my right, the Thurstons are to the other side, the Salalados are in front of me. I got the Fuscos, the Greens, and the Rodriguezes all around me. I guarantee you every single one of you would be in a church, and if you were to ask what were the most important things of your church, you would say, well, preach the gospel, right? We're going to be a Bible-believing church, right? And I guarantee you somewhere in the top three, whether number two or three, you would say we care about the lost. We care about evangelism. Would I be right in assuming that? Am I right in assuming that? Yeah, so what Front Yard Mission is trying to do is they're trying to put together your passion for the lost and an application on how to do it. And they gave you a tool right here. Your mission field is all around you. For me, it's the Wagners and the Thurstons and the Salalados and the Fuscos and the Ericksons and the Rodriguezes. And for you, it's who? Shout it out now. Should give me a name. Shout it. Let me hear it. Go for it. What is it? Mr. Dan. I want to hear another one. Sunberg. Keep going. Give me the name of somebody on your hashtag. I want to hear it. Keep going. Shout them out. These are our people. These are the people that Jesus has put before us in this season for such a time as this. You're exactly where you're meant to be. You have a mission. And maybe that's putting donuts in the driveway. Maybe that's firing up an oven or having people over your house to sign the bottom of your table. Let's go. Like Jesus said, go. And we act like him. We're like, oh my gosh. And they're right in our backyard. And so commit to loving somebody. Just commit to praying for somebody tonight. He says, just start praying for your hashtag. Let's see these people in heaven. Let's see these people around the table. Let's love these people into existence. Jonathan, thank you for the encouragement. So take a name with you. Put a name down. Pray for a name. Love your neighbor. Love your God. And let's change the world. Go in peace.
Praise you again and again.
shout.